Hello, ladies. Good evening. I hope you're comfortable because we have a lot to talk about, or at least I have a lot I want to share with you. But first, let me introduce myself. My name is Anne Blanchett, and I'm part of the teaching team here at LifePoint. And I'm so excited to be a part of this study in particular, God of Creation. And I'm thrilled to be up here at the very beginning when we go to the very beginning and we dissect verse 1:1 to learn who God in the beginning is. But I gotta tell you, I've been in this study for over several weeks now, so I'm in a perpetual state of awe. And it's like, if you see something that kind of takes your breath away and you just gasp, like, that's where I am and I need to exhale. So I apologize now. I'm just hoping and praying that it's a neat exhale for you and it makes sense. But it was a lot. And I know you know that because you were in it too this past week. Phenomenal, but there is a lot in there. So we're just going to go ahead and get started in this. But before I do, I want to kind of recap a little bit about what Elizabeth was talking about last week so I can remind us of the foundation, especially in particular to what we're talking about tonight in verse 1. So the author we know is Moses, and we know that the original audience were the Israelites, and at the time they just came out of captivity and they're in the desert, so they're in that wandering place. So if we can just kind of imagine where they were at, they were enslaved for years. It's all they knew. It's who they were. It's how they found their identity. They didn't know how to live. They didn't know what to do. And I would suspect that with an experience like that, how could you trust anything else going forward? Maybe. Because when I think of this going back to the beginning, I think of beginnings in two ways. Like you can have two perspectives of a beginning, right? One is hopeful expectations, and that's good. But the other is fearful trepidation in the face of the unknown, when you don't know what's in front of you, you don't know what to do, and you just don't know how to live. See, I can probably relate more to beginnings and moments in my life of fearful trepidation, moments when I didn't know what to do. And all I had to go by was where I came from. And all that told me was, you can't trust the steps in front of you. So what do you do with fear? You either get paralyzed and you don't move, or you take it in your own hands and find control of the end, right? And you blaze your own trail, you make your own way, and all you do is wind up in the wrong directions on the wrong path. So this is like one of those things that's affected my life in many ways, even when it comes to leisure activities like reading a book. And I don't mean a textbook for information. I mean for enjoyment, for joy. I'm one of those people, yes, I'm going to admit it, who reads the book at the end first. I have to do that. I don't go to the beginning. I never have. And the reason is when you open a book to read at the beginning, you have no idea where it's going to end up. I want to know where it's going to end because I want to feel comfortable, safe, and I want the ending to be favorable to me. So I can tell you, I've passed on so many books in my life. I have, and that's just how I am. But there's great news in that because this book we're talking about, the Bible, and actually the very beginning is a different story. And why? Because in verse 1 in Genesis, not only does it declares the beginning, but it sums up the end in assurance and every in-between in there in one verse. One verse, we can see that. And how are we going to do that? Well, when we look to God's word, what are we looking for? God. Who God is, right? This is what he wanted his people to know, who he was. This is what he wants us to know, who he is in his entirety. And it's amazing, but we will see that in here. So we're going to look at this because we got to know who the God in the beginning was. So we can clearly see it through his word. In the very beginning, we can see it. We will dive into that. But we can also see who God is through his creation. And that's amazing. And we come to understand all of that, who God is, his amazing creation through faith. Faith is extremely important in this, especially when it takes you to be wanting to move past that fear. We need faith. We need faith in someone, someone worthy, someone trustworthy. So let's just go right to the beginning in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So if we were going to dissect this sentence, then let's just do it the way that you know you do when you're in elementary school. The first thing you want to know is, what is the main point? What's the subject? What is the subject of verse 1:1 in this sentence? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The subject is God. He is the subject. And here's the amazing thing. All the questions we can have, and through our study we saw that, you know, it was kind of divided up under questions, can be answered in who he is. So we got to know who this God is, right? So who is God? And how do we see that in verse 1? Well, we'll start first with the name God that's used in verse 1. So in Hebrew, the name for God is Elohim. And this name occurs 2,500 times in the Old Testament. It's a pretty important name. This was the name that Moses chose when he wrote verse 1:1. This is how God wants us to see him first, as Elohim. That's pretty powerful, but why is it powerful? Well, Elohim means supreme one. It means mighty one. Elohim is infinite, all-powerful. God, who shows by his works that he is the creator, the sustainer, and the supreme judge of the world. That's who he is in the beginning. That kind of gives me a little hope standing at the beginning of something, knowing that that's the God who I'm following, right? But we can also see a lot more from just this verse. We can see many other attributes of who God is. And the attributes I'm using are from our study guide. And I think they were on page 184 and 185. But when we're looking at this verse, we can draw out so much about who he is through these attributes. And kind of it gives us a clearer picture of who he is, you know, as Elohim. So we can tell right away when we look at verse 1, it says God created. Well, that makes him a creator, makes him the creator. When we look in the back and we see, what does creator mean? Well, it means he created everything, and it means he's uncreated. So if God's uncreated, then he existed before everything else was created, which makes him self-existent. That is another attribute in the back of your book. Self-existent says that he depends on no one to give him existence. He just is. He's above his creation. He is Almighty God. So if we know that he is higher than what he created, the other attribute we can go to and pull out is transcendent, right? Transcendent means infinitely higher in being and action. Infinitely higher. Well, if you see that, you know then he must be infinite, right? He's infinitely higher. So we can take this attribute and see who he is a little more clear with that. So what does infinite mean? Infinite means there's no limits to God. No limits. And if God created everything and he created time, time doesn't even limit him. So that makes him eternal. How do you feel at the cusp of a new beginning here? A little safer? Because he's not only the beginning, but he's the end. And he holds it all together. That's awesome. That's awesome. We also can tell that if God is eternal, he's not limited, and he exists out of time. So we know this. And we know from looking at Elohim and what that means, he's almighty. We can say that. We can call him almighty. And that means he has all the power, that nothing is too hard for him. Nothing. He wanted his people, the Israelites, to know that. Nothing's too hard. Not a desert, not waiting for maybe difficult things in life to pass, not pain that we're feeling, not loss. not insignificance, not loneliness, not depression. Nothing is too big for him. Nothing. And what does he want us to do? Focus on that. Focus on him and who he is. From beginning to end, God declares the start, he assures the end, and he sums up all the in-betweens. Are we getting a clearer picture of just how awesome our God is from the beginning? And this is God that we can know today. So Psalm 92, which was written by Moses, says, "Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." Moses, who also wrote Genesis, knew God as Elohim. He knew him as that. He had to have, because think about it, would he have done the things that he did if he didn't know that was the almighty, powerful God? I don't think so. I don't know anyone who would go and step out in fear unless they knew they were doing it with an almighty God who was holding them through it. So he had to have. So for you sitting here, and as you think about what you learned in your study this week about who God is, and now try to imagine, like, if you were at the beginning of something and now you know him as Elohim, like with all those attributes, how would you feel? What's your perspective in an unknown place, in a dry desert? What's your perspective now, knowing that he's the God who says, "Come to me"? I'm thinking maybe a little more hopeful at this point. And I would imagine that, you know, if the Israelites knew him in that way, I would imagine that their steps would be as bold and brave and as Moses. And because I think who God is and who he reveals himself to be is where we find our comfort. It's where we find our comfort in our ability to move past things that are difficult. Because why? Because nothing's too difficult for God. We are in a unique place, though, in time, ladies, because we stand with like this hindsight view, right, of the Bible and the story. So for us, we are in this period that is called the redemption period. So last week, Elizabeth put up a slide, and she explained that, you know, the Bible is a narrative story, and it's broken into four periods, four parts, starting with creation, then we have the fall, redemption, and glory. We're in the redemption period. So what is redemption? Redemption is being restored back to God. The wrong that was done being made right. And what do we know about that for us? We know that that comes from Jesus, right? That comes from Jesus. So if we go back to the beginning again in Genesis 1:1, and we read "in the beginning," we get to jump forward to the New Testament, don't we? And we get to see in John 1:1 that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. That is awesome. That is just so awesome. But so we have to look a little further because we have to just understand. So the Word, who is the Word? John 1:14 says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." That is Jesus. Where was he? In the very beginning, before creation. Our Redeemer, there in the beginning. Are we getting like a really clear picture of just what was happening before everything was created? I mean, it's awesome. It's just awesome. So John 1:3 says, "Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. So everything is held in him." We can clearly see that we are safe and secure because that is our sustainer. And you know what's really amazing there is last week, Elizabeth brought up Ephesians 1:4. And something struck me that I didn't see before or didn't put together. But it says in Ephesians 1:4, for he chose us in him before creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight in love. He chose us. So now as I'm standing at any beginning and I know that I'm like, well, my past says this and my problems are this and I don't know where I'm going to go or what I'm going to do or how I'm going to do it. He chose us to be in him, in love, secure in him. We belong. We have a home. And what does he do? He brings us home. That just makes me want to cry because that is beautiful. And this is just part of the beginning. This is just part of the beginning. So when we were going through our study, I knew that, you know, we jumped ahead. I mean, one reason is you can't help it. You can't just read one verse, stop, and then, you know, I know there was a lot of work to do. But we did jump ahead to verse 2, didn't we? So what did we see in verse 2? We saw the Spirit of God was there. And what was the Spirit doing? It was hovering over the dark, deep waters, over lifelessness. And as we stand here today in the redemption period, what do we know about the Spirit and what it does for us? Well, it's pretty much the same as that dark, deep, lifeless place. But through our belief in Jesus, what does the Spirit do? Bring forth new life. It brings forth new life, and not just any life, eternal life. Why is it eternal? Because that's who Elohim is. That's the Almighty God. That's what we rest in. That's what he's calling everyone to know in this room. That's what he wanted his people to know from the very beginning. And I have to believe that is what Moses knew. I just have to believe that. So Job 33:4 says, the Spirit of God has made me. The breath of the Almighty gives me life. That's kind of part of my exhale there, because that felt good. You know, this was an intense part, traveling and studying through that to really look at and see God in his entirety. It's overwhelming, but not in a bad way. It's overwhelming in a way that makes me stand at the start of something and not be afraid to step, but actually I want to run now. I want to run because I know where I'm running to. And I don't care that it gets difficult in the end because I know who's going to get me through. It's just awesome. But here's the thing. We see him, right, in his word, but we see him in his creation. This will make me cry because studying this and then going outside was overwhelming to know that he did all this. And I'm like, I can't breathe. I just can't breathe. It was awesome. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What is that? That's everything. That's everything your eye can see and everything you can't see. That's space. That's galaxies. That's our earth, that's the depths of ocean we haven't even visited yet. I mean, it's everything. It's you, it's me. He created the heavens and the earth. Romans 1:20 says, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. We see God every day and we might not even recognize it. Because in his creation, those attributes come out. There's power, right? There's power. There's beauty. I mean, we can't deny that. We see it. We can't even deny that there's intelligent design and order that we're like, how did he do that? Always leaves us with the question, how? Because we were made to be curious and have to know everything. So, of course, we got to know how. And that's not a bad thing. Because through my studies, I kind of found science pretty cool. So the study of how things work is really awesome when it points to your creator. It's pretty awesome. And it actually does. It just does. So did you know that some scientists think that there's as many stars as there are grains of sand on all the beaches in the world? I mean, think about that. There's that many stars. Have you ever held sand in your hand and tried to count grains of sand? Well, I couldn't even fathom that. I wouldn't even want to begin to do that, even with just a tiny bit. That many stars? And what's amazing is the stars function. They just function where they're at, and there's order. I don't know how that could have happened. I don't have the answers there. I wish I did. I don't, but I might just wonder that maybe when we look at that, that we know our God to be infinite. And he's above everything. I don't know that I can think like him. I'm finite. I'm a created being. So maybe I just can't comprehend or understand it, but I can see it. But I can see it. But here's the thing. We're still left with the how it happens, right? So we wonder, and we touched in through our study about how theories come about. Everybody wants to know how old the earth is, how man came about. So there's theories. There's theories. But the thing is Scripture tells us that God spoke it. Scripture tells us that he breathed it. And he tells us that he willed it. He willed creation into existence. In Revelation 4:11, the end of that verse, it says, by your will they created and have their being. That's overwhelming to me, because if you pay attention to the fact that it says by his will, God's will brings life. God's will brings creation into existence, not mine, not mine. Amazing. This is where we can see him in a way where we can say, yes, I surrender and I'll follow you because I trust you. And it is your will that is the way to live, not mine. But we have to know him, right? We have to know him. But it's amazing, because I told you that the science part became really interesting to me. It really did, because I'm not a science person. First of all, math and science, no good. Not for me. Neither one of those areas. But science is cool. It really is. I'm loving it, because the more that I dive into the Word, and the more that I recognize that God can be seen in it, it's awesome. So there was this English physicist back in the late 1800s. His name was Sir Joseph John Thomson. Anyways, he won a Nobel Prize for discovering the first subatomic particle. Okay, well, all I know of the subatomic particle is it's like a really, really, really small particle. It's smaller than an atom, so it's tiny. And you have to wonder, like, who would go searching for something that tiny? I mean, who would even know to go look for it? Well, this physicist did. And he did many other things in his time. But he has this quote, and it enlightened me, and I want to share it with you. So this is what he said. And you got to remember that this is what he did. Physicist, he's a scientist, he's always searching for unsearchables. As we conquer peak after peak, we see in front of us regions full of interest and beauty, but we do not see our goal. We do not see the horizon. In the distance, tower still higher peaks, which will yield to those who ascend them still wider prospects. And deep in the feeling, the truth of which is emphasized by every advance in science, that great are the works of the Lord. I mean, Psalm 111:2 says, great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. We see that in creation. We see him. We see him in his word. But yet, we may still have questions of how, right? I have several resources that I'm going to share with you ladies, and I'm going to send those out in an email to your group leaders, but I'll just let you know that there is science out there, there's research out there that actually is evidential and points to the accounts of creation according to Scripture. So there's a great documentary called Genesis Paradise Lost. If you know what it is, that's awesome. If you don't, you're going to know. It's really cool. There is also a video by Louis Giglio, How Great Is Our God? If you've watched it, then you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, it will blow your mind. Watch it. You can Google that on YouTube. How Great Is Our God? And this one is one I'm in right now. It's called Indescribable. It's a children's devotional book, but it's about God and science. Now, it's a children's book, and yes, I read it with my son, but I can tell you, I'm learning so much from this book. I would recommend it to anybody. So those are the resources I would recommend to you if you want to further dive into God's creation. So what do we do when we're at the beginning and we still have questions? What do you do when you're at the beginning and you still have the question of how did this happen? How did all this come into being? Faith. It's faith. Hebrews 11:3 says, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Faith. Do you know how important faith is? It's crucial. We know that because you can go down in Hebrews and you see that in Hebrews 11:6 that without faith it's impossible to please God. That because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. Must believe. And that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. We can understand things that might be impossible through our minds and through our eyes because we have faith. Because we know who he is and we believe it. And how important is faith? Well, there's a whole chapter in Hebrews called the Faith Hall of Fame. And the individuals who walked and lived by faith were commended. And by the way, Moses was one of them. Moses was one of them. So we can know him through his word. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This study was awesome this week, ladies, because it just opened up a lot of truth. And yes, it got us thinking, right? It got us thinking. But that's important. Because ultimately, if we're walking by faith, that will lead us to the truth, to him. So now with faith and knowledge of who God is, and knowing that you can see his might and his power in all creation, when you're standing at the cusp of a new beginning, what do you do? What do you do? You go. You go. You go to him because he's the one calling you to him. You go. Faith is how we understand our place, our purpose, and it is through faith that we live it out for the glory of the Lord. So the one question we didn't answer, because we answered many here, was we answered who God was. You know, what did he do? Created the heavens and the earth. We answered when, in the beginning, he existed well before us. We even answered how. As best as we could, as best as I can. But we didn't tackle the why. So you remember in our study this week, there were all these false narratives of why God created everything. And the great part about that part of our study was Scripture discounted those false narratives, right? God's word discounted them. Because we know God didn't create because he was lonely, because he wasn't alone. We know God didn't create because he needed somewhere to direct his love to. Why? Because all of his love was directed towards the Son. However, he chose to create out of love. He didn't need to. We know God doesn't get bored because God is not like us, right? He's infinitely higher. So he doesn't get bored. But this last one, I just got to be honest with you, trips me up a lot. Because I know that God didn't create me because he needs my help. But sometimes I live like that's the truth. Sometimes I live, even though I know him, and even though I live by faith in him, I think, well, he needs me to do all these things. this work has to be done. It's got to be me. So then what do? I run to work in all these areas. And what am I doing? I'm lifting myself up, becoming God. And where's God going? Down there. He's God, I'm not. He did not create us because he needs us. He's almighty. I mean, he doesn't need us to do all that. He invites us into relationship. He invites us into doing his work. And that's the amazing thing. So the God in the beginning wants his people to know him. This is what he wanted for the Israelites. This is the motivation for Moses to write, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And when you come to understand who that God is there, yeah, it gets a little easier to venture out, right? When you don't know an end, because you kind of do know the end, don't you? If you know him, you know the end. And it's amazing to see him in his creation. And we live it out by faith. And that is just awesome. So ladies, to know God is from beginning to end. He is the answer to all the unknowns. All the questions we have, the answers are found in him. In him, who he is, what he did, it's in him. So here's the thing. What's the truth of why God created? Scripture tells us it's simple. It pleased him to create. He created for his glory. Creation reveals God, right? Creation reveals his glory. We have a unique position and purpose in that creation. And we're going to talk about that in week 4 when we really dive into being made in the image of God. But in order for us to truly live that purpose out according to his will, well, we have to bend to his will, not the other way around. And when we reveal his glory, what is that? It's revealing his character, his attributes. And I can't wait to get into week 4 with you because we'll be talking about, you know, what that really looks like. Being made in his image and how we reveal it through our lives. So I don't know about you, but that was a huge exhale for me. I gotta tell you, I feel so much better. I felt like I was holding my breath because our God is awesome and amazing. He is. And you're not here by accident. You're not even in this study by accident. He wants you to know him in deeper ways. He wants to reveal himself more to you, to me, to the world. And it's beautiful. So I'm going to, before we pray and end, and I think I'm probably doing pretty good on time, so I hope you ladies like that, so you get out a little earlier, but I'm going to read this quote by A.W. Tozer. So it says, "What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us." Why would that be? Because who he is the sum of everything. What we believe about him is how we will live our lives. If we know him as Moses knew him, if we know him as Almighty Elohim, as Sustainer, as Giver of Life, wouldn't we live according to his way? I think so. So maybe the point is to first come to know him, right? Come to know him and know him so well that you can see him. And then through your faith, just live it out every day. Now, will you pray with me? Let's thank God for this. Heavenly Father, first, thank you for your presence. Thank you for revealing who you are to us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for chasing after us. Thank you for caring for us. Thank you for bringing us together so we could study your word from the very beginning, that you want us to know who you are. You want us to follow you, and you want us to see that that is good. That is very good. Thank you for redemption. Thank you for your son. Thank you for making a way. This week, I pray that as we go into our study and we dive into 6 days of creation of your work, I pray that you help us be still. I pray that you help us be still and know that you are God, so we can just rest in you. In your son's name we pray. Amen.